It's the time of the season where the vets get back into fighting form and the newest players battle it out for a full-time roster spot.
When training camp comes around, it's go time for me.
Hey, let's go bring it up!
Our Falcons are putting in the work ahead of the 2024 season.
And nobody's got camp covered like us.
We gotta get a rhythm, man.
It's Dukes and Bell talking camp live from Hooters at the Mall of Georgia.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app as we take you to camp. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires. Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller Time Atlanta. Margaritaville. And by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Attorney Ken Nugent. Getting the settlement you deserve after an accident.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man, pads were popping like Gwinnett, which is popping. We're up here at Mall of Georgia Hooters, guys. Got a bunch of dudes at the bar. We got ice cold Hey Man Ale. You can sample that. It's on draft. It's delish. Thanks to our buddy, our brewmaster Taylor, for getting some fresh suds up for us here in Gwinnett. Our man Chris Turtle Thomas is in for Carl today. Carl will hopefully be back tomorrow, but we had a chance to watch practice today. Full pads, full go. We saw some good hitting. We saw some great runs. Bijan Robinson, I mean, if there was a crowd, because there's a lot of folks still don't realize, you know, why we don't have fans. Just real quick, I know we try to mention it every day on the show. Arthur Blank spoke with the media today, and I'll tell you what, he did apologize to the fans because of all the work. They've expanded basically all the area where there were parking lots or any areas that were close to the field are now nothing but facility, including one of the biggest weight rooms. I mean, the weight rooms, if we're honest, were kind of jive, but it is like an airplane hangar now filled with just the state-of-the-art equipment, and that's all part of the transformation. So the fans this year, while the work is still getting done, really no way for them to be able to move around and get over on the hill. But if we had fans on the hill today, Chris, we would have had some oohs and ahs based on some of the things we saw.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Bijan Robinson was really good. Tyler Allgeier as well. Kirk Cousins, another fantastic day throwing the ball. Minus one play, as we said in hour number one, that Jesse Bates, our ball hawk, our all-pro safety, was able to take away. Michael Penix looked good as well. Little scuffle, little skirmish, as we said, but that's just a part of training camp. Nothing to see there in terms of any long-term ramifications. Mike, I got to say, the guys just look good. Both sides of the ball. I'm liking what I'm seeing, and I almost feel like I have to catch myself before I can say that after the last couple of seasons. But defense made some really good plays. Offense made some really good plays. It was a spirited practice.
So the Falcons today, what we took from it, we saw Kirk Cousins throw an interception today. We later found out it was Darnell Mooney who made the – was it my bad that he said on D-led –
that's right, Mike. He said he misread his route.
So a guy that's had a lot of picks, and a matter of fact, is our best turnover machine, Jesse Bates, had the big turnover today, and I got the crowd, at least the media crowd, because I know I went, yeah, just, you know, you're in the media, sir, you got to pipe down. That's why I can't sit in the press box, man. What fun is that? You know, hang out with a bunch of stuffed shirt media types. Yeah, granted, you get free hot dogs and stuff up there. They got a nice spread, but I like to be able to, you know, vocalize when I see cool stuff.
Well, there'll be a time, right, like you're at practice and you'll be lined up on the near side, which is where they're practicing basically directly in front of you. And Kyle Pitts will make an amazing catch, and he'll be catching himself, you know, coming after the play, and he runs right by you, and you want to be like, yeah, hey, good play. But you're like, exactly. You're like, I can't really do that.
I did that today with Bijan. Bijan was like, yeah, B. I was like, oh. Yeah, man, Jesse Bates picked off Kirk Cousins. He was going after Darnell Mooney. Mooney comes over to watch the replay board because another thing fans would love now, you've got these giant real-time digital the quarterbacks are all wearing cameras on their helmets. You've got all the eye in the sky. So when eventually we do get fans back to Flower Branch, presumably next summer and spring, you'll get to see everything in real time. It's amazing. So, I mean, the players love it. The coaches love it. I know the media, certainly we love it because you can see everything. Before we get to the NFL Blitz, let's start with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He goes on a podcast, which I'm not familiar with, but he apparently says, amongst other things, that the Packers, as we all know, are the Lions' biggest rival. And he was on Hot Ones Versus. That was the podcast. And he started talking about some of the fans that he thought aren't the best. It's maybe some, I don't know, correlation between teams who are underperforming. When he was a rookie, he talks about Washington. And listen to him talk about the Atlanta Falcon fans.
I hate the Packers fans just because it's Green Bay. I play for Detroit. But I think some of the worst fans was the Falcons.
Really?
When we played them my rookie year, no one was there. Terrible. I'm like, yo.
Oh, so you're looking at it as far as support toward their team.
Right.
Okay.
Because I hate Green Bay. Their fans, I mean, they have good fans for the team, but I hate them.
Right.
But I don't know. Is there that much to do in Atlanta? I don't know. Because ain't nobody going to the game.
Okay, let's take a look back at 2021, rookie season for Amon-Ra St. Brown. It was the day after Christmas, jerkwad. It was December 26th. It was also a 6-8 Falcon team at that point with Matt Ryan. We didn't know at the time it was Matt. Had we known it was Matt Ryan's, you know, next to last home game,
yeah, really,
maybe we would have all been there. But I can understand why there would have been about 50,000 people tops at Mercedes-Benz. The season was going south. That was the year the chickens came home to roost. We had no money. So, as you know, guys, Dean Pease's defense, trying to make lemons out of lemonade. No Julio. Calvin Ridley taps out. So, all of a sudden, you know, the season didn't go the way it did. So, I know his dad is a bodybuilder and his kids are very clever. But sometimes, you know, when you run your mouth on a podcast, you don't really know which way the shot is, if I'm honest here. You know, so a little perspective on it. Like, all. But again, because as you like to say, Chris, it's to just become the punching bag and it gets national news and this thing gets some legs and people go, oh, Atlanta, oh, once again reinforcing what terrible fans were supposed to be.
Well, I will say this. The one thing he did say in the clip that is utterly preposterous is that there is nothing to do in Atlanta. Are you kidding me? There's everything to do in Atlanta. It's one of the most poppin' cities in the world, to use your quote, Mike.
So, Amon-Ra, go home and go shave your arms and oil up, okay, pal? Hope we'll see you in the playoffs, tough guy. On that note, let's hit an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man, it's brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, man, the quarterbacks got paid. We talked about Tua. You got to do it. Carl said it yesterday. I agree. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Same thing goes for what they did with Jordan Love. The Giants found themselves in the same awkward position just 2 years ago, and now Daniel Jones apparently looks like hot garbage in practice up there in Jersey.
Yeah, I saw a video today of him trying to throw a 5-yard out route, and he just completely missed the receiver, Mike Bell. This guy apparently has had an awful camp so far. They even went out of their way to draft somebody that could help him in Neighbors, and it just has not worked out to this point. So I'm thinking that Daniel Jones will be playing his last season as a starting quarterback for the New York Giants in 2024.
I'm with you. There was just nowhere to go for them. Now, you could have argued you just made the playoffs. How are you not going to re-up this quarterback? Of course, the Giants went backwards. I don't have anybody watching the Giants on that Hard Knocks, that midseason Hard Knocks. Carl and I were talking about the other day. Man, the GM loves the sound of his own voice. And Brian Daboll, who I thought was a real blue-collar kind of guy with his back. Is it the curse of the Bill Belichick tree?
He is apparently also, Mike Bell, on the hot seat. If he doesn't get it done this year, there could be a total regime change in New York. And are they the worst team in their own division? Could be.
Well, I don't know what to make of it. When you're watching, for instance, players are coming in. And if you hadn't seen it yet, you got different rookies. They're talking to all the wide receivers, a number of the quarterbacks, because the Giants were sitting there in that spot at six where they could have done a number of things.
Yeah.
And they could have traded down. But it was weird because he just kind of – he acts like such a turd. He puts his feet up on the desk. Like, so you want to be a quarterback for the Giants, huh? It's like, are you want to play hard case? If this is some kind of psychological treatment in the interview to see how somebody handles pressure, maybe. Either way, you're not – pulling it off. You look like a jerk. He was, for those who don't remember, a big part of the Patriots. He was there for 4 seasons. Then he was with Saban before eventually he goes to Buffalo as the OC. But he just comes off with that. Just, I don't know, man. Bad juju.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a coach that you'd want to play for in that regard if he's going to be condescending like that. I believe it was J.J. McCarthy was the quarterback in the room when they were doing that on Hard Knocks. And you're right, Mike. He just comes off as a guy that thinks he's holier than thou. And to quote our good friend Carl Dukes, he's done absolutely nothing in the league.
Hey, man, Antonio Pierce, by virtue of the great Chiefs Raiders performance against the Chiefs and that down-the-stretch run, got the head coaching job. You know what he said today? I thought it was pretty funny. I want somebody to step up and win this quarterback job. The direct quote is, I'd like to see, again, I'm going to keep saying it, can somebody just take it and say, I'm the guy? Make it clear and evident. I love the fact when you got a former player just basically telling it like, will one of you nitwits please take this job over and grab the brass ring? He's talking about his two quarterbacks, Aiden O'Connell, and the stopgap they picked up was Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, it's tough to grab the bull by the horns when those are your two options. Not exactly a lot of winning experience in that room. Mm-hmm. Gardner Minshew is a good, as you mentioned, stopgap quarterback when you have a guy that goes down for a couple of games in the middle of a season, much like a Ryan Fitzpatrick type, if you will, who's a little bit more athletic. But, Mike, if I'm not mistaken, they probably have the worst quarterback room in the NFL.
You know, the story was, and this is why when we went and got Penix, and I understand why we got Penix, we'll tell you what Arthur Blank had to say about that coming up. We're going to have some Arthur audio for you later in the day. Our man Smokin' Joe is cutting it up as we speak. You were scared because you had this quarterback hell for 2 years, so we went and got Penix. We didn't have to move up to get Penix. People always like to say, like, I'm not trying to jam this argument down your throat. I'm just giving you the logic on this. The only team that was coming up to get Penix was the Raiders. That's the only team which, after the draft, said we kind of really like Penix. But there was no indication, even if we hadn't gone and signed Kirk Cousins, I believe the only team that you may have had to dig it, if that's the Raiders, then maybe you make a trade with the Giants to leapfrog up and maybe sweeten the pot if the Raiders were coming up. But the Raiders, I'm telling you, man, that's the only competition we have for Penix. I'm not demeaning Penix. I can't wait to see Penix. Matter of fact, all I want to see in preseason is Penix. But that would have been the perfect fit for the Vegas Raiders.
And as you just said, Mike, I think we might, because I will say this. Taylor Heinicke, the last couple of practices, not getting much work in terms of the 11-on-11 drills. So I'm not sure if that means anything or if it means everything. But he was not really, if any, I don't think I saw him take a single rep with either the ones or twos today in practice. So maybe Michael Penix Jr. is the backup after all.
Hey, man, give me the Lamar Jackson cut, Oren, back at the ranch. Lamar Jackson, who, you know, again, other than his offensive coordinator doing some really dumb stuff and forgetting about his run game against the Chiefs and making things easy for Kansas City on the road, Lamar Jackson could have won a Super Bowl maybe. I'd have given him even money with the Ravens. We saw the Ravens beat the crap out of the 49ers in the regular season.
Yep.
But he was getting dogged even in his own backyard in the Charm City for missing some practices, having to leave early. Here's Lamar talking to the media about feeling good.
I don't know. I kind of just get a bug. You know, you really never know when a bug hits you, but got hit with a bug. But I'm good now. I'll be thinking that sometimes because in Louisville, I never got sick. I never was sick. You know, but comes and goes.
You get a bug, you get a bug. Carl got the bug.
Yeah, Carl, I was just about to say, do we crap on Carl tomorrow for getting the bug?
Hey, Oren, hold on to that audio. We're going to run that tomorrow when Carl's back on the ranch. Sorry. You know, Carl's watching, listening
judging
back at home. But, hey, feel better, man. He really did. He looked like he was green in the gills, man. NFL Blitz is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Arthur Blank speaking with the media. Apologize to the fans that the, you know, pardon our progress, literally, as they continue more work at Flowery Branch. Arthur also said that, you know, he's not meddling, but he was informed we were going to be drafting Michael Penix on draft night. I would argue that Arthur told you to draft Michael Penix, but I'm not going to argue with the general manager about that anymore.
That puts to bed the circulating video that went viral on draft night, if you remember, Mike, where Terry and Arthur seemed to be having a spirited conversation about something.
It looked like they were explaining it to him, and apparently, no, that was explaining why they couldn't trade back into the first round.
Quotes.
Hey, I didn't do that for the radio audience. I did that for the bar, the air quotes. Selling the secret sauce, man. Hey, brother. It is Dukes and Bell live here at, again, our favorite Hooters. It's always a great scene. Good to see some old friends, man. Couple over here drinking some ice cold. Hey, man. They're not swingers. They're good people. Also, guys, but if you are, join the party. Come on down and join us here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. We will be here till 7 o'clock. We'll be tomorrow as well. This hour of the show is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Lorenzo Carter came out of Georgia. Looks like, you know, if you looked up defensive lineman, edge rusher in a dictionary, that's what you'd see as the picture. Why haven't we seen more sacks out of this guy? He caught up with Andy Randy. You heard the conversation with Zoe coming up next on 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Kristen for Carl today. Today is the Major League Baseball trade deadline at 6 o'clock. We went back on a blast from the past, picking up Jorge Soler. Hey, man, guy with the biggest home runs in Braves history, but can he do anything? He's not been hitting great for the Giants. We're picking up some contract money that you're going to have to put him in the outfield. You know, he can't DH. Marcelo Zuna hit like a tape-measure shot last night in Milwaukee. Wasn't enough as they blow a really good effort from Grant Holmes. Jesse Chavez was not great. But we're still waiting to see if there's another shoe to drop with the Braves. Maybe they go after some pitching. Maybe they don't. I know that as far as Luke Jackson, I think that's just a throw-in, a sweetener in the deal, because he's been horrible this year for the Giants too.
Nah, he hasn't really done anything. And the thing about Soler is, you said, Mike, he's due $13 million plus over the next couple of years, so he's not going anywhere fast. So right. You're going to have to figure this thing out.
And if you've been listening to the show since spring training, Chris was like, Kelnick, bum. This guy Kelnick's terrible. He did have a terrible spring. Chris gave him no leeway. Then, of course, he caught fire, and then he went back to bum. Kelnick, what? It's one thing if you can't hit. Don't be a butcher in the outfield. He was a hot mess last night.
Yeah, I think it's starting to get to his head a little bit. I think he's overcompensating at the plate and in the field because, quite frankly, Mike, the Braves need him. And he hasn't been able to come up big in the times that it mattered most.
So I would imagine Snicker's going to use Soler in the leadoff spot because we just can't find anybody to do it. And Soler has been pretty good in that role. One thing about Snicker, guys, I know it seems like ancient history now, but the way he managed that lineup, when to move Rosario up or down, put where he moved Jorge, when to use Jock, I mean, he killed it. Is this going to work this time around? I don't know. Is this simply Alec doing enough to placate the fans but hedging his bets to say, look, just not our year? Braves fans don't want to hear that because we're still first place in the wild card, and if this team could ever start hitting, you'd still believe you got enough pitching, Chris, you could make a run. We'll talk more about it with Grant McCauley coming up. Also, the Hawks making some moves. Just real quick, Bruno Fernando gets waived today. There's too many centers. I thought they'd move on from Zeller and keep Fernando, but I guess we got what? We got Capella still. I thought they were going to trade Capella. It's an expiring contract, guys. Watch, they're going to screw this thing up the way they did with with John Collins. Anyway, Capella's still here. They should have got him off the books and used the trade exception. Don't get me started. Meanwhile, though, we got Gay is still here.
Mohamed Gay, Double O, Larry Nance, Cody Zeller. Those guys are all potentially in the mix. So Fernando, odd man out.
Okay, so he gets waived and see what happens. That doesn't mean they never bring him back at some point, but unless somebody else claims him. Hey, man, let's talk to some football. Lorenzo Carter, the guy looks like a rock star. He's had some moments, 5 sacks here and there with the Giants. He's been here with the Falcons a couple years. He wasn't here for Coach Ra, but they asked him, Andy and Randy, what's it like with the new vibe and the new philosophy?
Oh, it's been great, man. They blessed us with a new facility, so we've all been in here. It's like college now. It's nice locker room, nice weight room. It's like, man, you don't got to recruit us. We here. but it's great. Everybody's in the building. We got that great energy going, and we're finally back playing football. So we're going to build off of that first day today.
What was it like being out there with pads on today?
It was great, man. Really competitive. The O-line been pushing us around in T-shirts and stuff. So now it's finally time to start striking people using hands and pads. So it's been fun. We're looking forward to getting back to playing football, getting ready for week one.
I know it's still early comparison things, but when you look at what you guys did last year with Nielsen and this year with Coach, how is it different, similarities, what's going on as far as what you have to do?
Yeah, similarities are we're still going to be aggressive. We're going to play fast and aggressive, and that's the key. Without physicality, you're not playing football. So that's the message, and it's a little different in scheme-wise, but at the end of the day, if you can set edges and stop the run, then you can get the chance to have fun on third downs.
Atlanta Falcon Lorenzo Carter joining us right now, fresh off the practice field, first day in pads. One of the things that has been talked about a lot in training camp so far is kind of the personality and the energy of Raheem, maybe some of the personality of Zach Robinson. Haven't heard that much about Jimmy Lake. What's Jimmy Lake like?
He's intellectual.
Okay.
Very intellectual. He draws up plays, gets us in the right position, and, I mean, once he calls those calls, it's up to us to make the play. So that's what's known. He lets us know that it's our defense, so we got to run it. So that's been the thing, and just learning the defense, understanding it so we can play faster. And he's pretty spicy. I mean, I don't know if y'all see Ryan Zach.
Spicy.
He's a little spicy. Wait till we get in that defensive room. We get it going in there.
How has it been since Ra's been here and everything? Again, new voice, new leader. Everybody knows. I mean, the energy that he brings, the niceness, all those different things. But what about the competitiveness that Ra tries to instill in y'all?
Oh, yeah, man. He lets us know it's on us. If you make a mistake, he's not cussing you out. He's not running out there ripping you. He's coming out. Right. You're coming out. You're going to sit here and think about it so that you understand the importance of every snap. I think I messed up probably like the first day, jumped off sides, and he just pulled me out. I'm like, Coach, what you want me to do? You want me to run? Like, listen. Right. He's like, nah, man, you just about to sit here and see these reps you missed. Right. And it's like, that's the worst part. That was literally the worst part. I was steaming just sitting there like, man, can I go back? Let me get back in. And it's like, you just got to understand the importance of every play. Every snap is important, and that's what's going to take us to the next level.
Certainly some veterans on that D-line, but some new faces as well. Braylon Trice, edge rusher from Washington, Ruka Roro, Brandon Dorless. Give us a scouting report on some of the young guys.
Yeah, man, those guys are coming in. We drafted them, and they haven't let me down. They've been working hard. They've been watching film, studying. So I'm looking forward to see what they can do once we got the pads on now. It's time to play football, and it's time to play grown man football. Right. You're not in college anymore. Like, that's what the message has been, and that's what I've been trying to let them know. But I think they're going to do a great job in accepting it and stepping up to the challenge.
What about the leader in the room? I mean, I know that we were all, when Grady went down last year, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
But and I didn't know what to expect coming into this season. We talked to Rod last week that you're going to have to try to hold him back because you know Grady wants to be in there. Tell us about his leadership and how you guys felt knowing that when I was out there today, I saw 97 out there in them full pads going with you.
Man, it's amazing. It's amazing to see the hard work he's put in from the time he went down to where he is now. It's like this guy is running around, flying around as fast as anybody else. So if he can do it, then it's like, hey, everybody has to step up to his level. And it's great if everybody's playing at his level. Shoot, man. It's going to be tough to keep up.
Right. Lorenzo Carter joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Haven't been here a couple years now. You've played in practice and training camp against a handful of different quarterbacks. Obviously, this is the most veteran quarterback that you guys have had on the team for a few years. How is that different for you all? How does that get you all ready or more ready for the season going up against a quarterback like Kirk?
He's making all the plays. He pushes us. He makes all the checks, his hard counts, everything, man. You got to be on top of every play out here. And then he expects greatness from the offense. He's pushing the offense to be great. He's walking back to the huddle, giving guys little cues and reminders and telling them what they need to fix. So I'm listening to everything from him. Even if he's correcting offense, I'm taking those notes. It's like, hey, this is how he wants it done, so I know how to defend now. So it's been great. Kirk, very competitive. He's spicy. One of those spicy guys, too. Oh, Kirk, man. A little spicy, oh, man. Hey, people don't realize it. I didn't realize it until I was out there. He's yelling at guys. I'm like, hey, man, it's Kirk. Chill out.
Too spicy.
Now, we like it.
Yeah. Okay, so we were talking the other day with Kyle and everything, and we're talking about this new daggone college football game. Obviously, we have the best team on the
yes,
game.
Sir.
Do you play the game, and do you just play with Georgia? Because my son says it's not fair to play with Georgia.
Really?
It's not fair.
That's what he says.
Hey, man, life ain't fair.
Right.
Nah, I play with the dogs every time I can, man. Every time I play, I'm with the dogs.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure. All right. My last one for you is your position specifically as far as, you know, question marks, the pass rush and all those different things. You got a room full of guys that are, like you told earlier, young guys that came in, guys like yourself that's been there. How is that competition going? Because we're all teammates and everything. And everything is solid, but I want to beat you out for this job because I want those reps.
Oh, yeah, man. We love it. We love the fact that eyes are on our room, whether it's Coach Ra, offensive coordinator, eyes are on our room to see what they can get from us, what they're expecting. So I let them know every day, man, we got to set the tone. What we do every day starting now is what our identity is going to be. So we got to set the identity, create the identity, and go from there. But we're going to be hard-nosed. We're going to be hungry. Everybody is getting each other better. So we're going to push each other. And at the end of the day, we're going to put the best guy on the field.
Lorenzo Carter, nice enough to spend some time with us after practice today. Final question for us. Thanks again for the time. Got to get a Georgia question in beyond just the video game.
I was going to ask.
I'll do it. That's fine. That's fine. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do it. A lot of changes in college football this year.
Yeah.
What do you think will not be different? Maybe Georgia back in the winner's circle?
Yeah, man. That will not be different. Georgia will not be cheated out of the playoffs this year. We will have a chance to compete for a national championship, and I think that's all you can ask for is a chance. You can control the uncontrollable. You can't control what people do, but at the end of the day, I think Georgia's going to go out there and play their best ball and get a chance to go get another one.
We appreciate
my
it.
Dog.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Bulldog.
Right. Back, guys. That's a conversation with Lorenzo Carter with Andy Rende right here on 92.9 The Game. We love the guy's, you know, skill set. Is this a year where he can maximize it? Because as we say every time, including when we threw to the interview, if ever there's a guy who looks like he should have 10 sacks a year, it's Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, he should be. You would think, Mike, with all of the mixing and matching they're going to do on the defensive front this season, he would be a main contributor because you don't have a lot of guys with a ton of experience or, unfortunately, double-digit sack seasons on their resume.
Right.
So you would think Lorenzo Carter, Arnold Ebukadi, guy we spoke to, Braylon Trice, those guys are going to all get significant opportunity to make an impact.
Hey, man, sorry I was late on the pickup of the interview. That guy Coy was in my ear from Dominic's over in Buford. He's the guy that provides all the food. He has the unbelievable spread. He did, like, a 15-hour, pork and brisket. If you didn't see this thing, We saw some of the photos that players were talking about how great it was. He did the breakfast today. Very good. Real men can eat quiche, and we did this morning.
We did.
Along with some great sausage. Thanks to Coy from Dominic's, man. He's over here. He's a regular here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. We'll come back. So you're in for Carl. Does that mean that Oren's in for you?
Big man on campus.
All right, man. Back at the ranch, Big O, whose wife is working him overtime to have baby number two, to try to give us some yeah man, no man. Maybe our man Day-Day could give him some advice. Next. Dukes and Bell, baby. Hour number two is we're live from Hooters Mall of Georgia after watching Falcons camp today. This hour of the program brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. A lot of hitting today. Pads were popping. Bijan Robinson, if there was a guy, I'd say was the best-looking dude in practice, I'd say he'd be one of those guys. Jesse Bates doing what he does with a pick today. And Michael Penix, man, that ball just coming out. After Cousins threw the pick, I think it was the quarterback's coach that came over and was kind of, hey, man, just – it's July, man. It's all good. But it was a missed side route or a route that was not run properly, which created the pick. But either way, you know the media is going to go, Kirk Cousins threw a pick and Penix looked clean. But enough about D-Led. More on the Falcons coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Right now, a man who's working hard in many ways, Oren Juice Jones. No, it's Oren Romaine. It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
That's not accurate. Chris is right here in for Carl.
True.
Oren's back at the ranch in Midtown. And if you missed yesterday's show, Oren's wife has demanded that he have sex with her every night as they're trying to have baby number two.
Is that right?
That's how I heard the story.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I think we're taking a couple of liberties with that, Mike.
Please. Well, I'm just saying you must be delivering the goods every night. And if you need any help, Day-Day is right here. We can put him on the headset. How many kids you got, Day-Day? Five kids. Give it up for Day-Day right here. This guy's got five kids. This guy's got a starting infield right here, man.
Yes,
everything.
I do. Starting five.
Any advice for our man?
Yeah. Tell them to pull all the piping, all the plumbing. Tell them to pull it all out. Take it all out. Shut it down. Shut it down.
So he says, once you have the second child, then get the vasectomy?
Shut it down.
Okay, there you go. So then sit on the frozen bag of peas. Advice from our man, Day-Day. All right, Oren, on that note, what do you got for us? Yeah, man, no man.
I got my 64-ounce Yeti over here to make sure I stay perfectly hydrated just in case here, gentlemen, because, you know, got to stay hydrated these days. But we're going to start first in the NFL. About like the last, let's say, 30, 35 years of the Denver Broncos organization has had kind of weird peaks and valleys. You've had the John Elway years, which resulted in Super Bowls. Right. You had the Peyton Manning era, which got you a Super Bowl, and then you had some lowlights. You had the Tim Tebow era, which got you a playoff win, but not much else. There was the Paxton Lynch era. Just a lot of really bad quarterbacks.
And Elway really missed on a lot. He did. Elway missed on QBs, man, other than convincing Peyton Manning to come take the Denver job.
Absolutely, he did. He was on the Pardon My Take podcast, and he mentions a quarterback he missed on that he regrets. That's the starting quarterback now up there in Buffalo. He did not draft.
Did you not get Josh Allen? I feel like he is exactly your type.
I know, he is. And the believe me, last year I played with him, and I'm wondering how long is it going to take him to realize that I passed on him and took Bradley and Chubb instead.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it took him 2.5 holes to bring it up. And I loved him, right?
Yeah.
But it just, you know, didn't
he was
work
your
out
type.
That's the was my yeah. type, yeah. And you're right. That was probably my biggest mistake of my GM days, well, was not taking Josh.
Yeah, man, no, man. Not taking Josh Allen is going to go down as John Elway's biggest GM blunder.
I mean, Bradley Chubb is a good pick, but, you know, I got to be honest. Carl and I, Chris, at the time, and I'll let you answer too, but it was at the time, Josh Allen, the completion percentage was so low coming out of Wyoming. What was his big game? It's the same argument for who's the stunad who's on the Cowboys? We haven't even seen Trey Lance.
Yeah.
We haven't even seen him. It was a bigger sample size, but a lot of folks felt that this guy would never be accurate enough. And then through Brian Daboll, and amongst other things, and his own hard work, he became one of the more accurate passers. But I'd say no, because I think Josh Allen, through hindsight being 2020, becomes a slam dunk. He was no way the slam dunk back then.
No, this is a total Monday morning quarterback job. This is not something that you look back and say this was the Trevor Lawrence or the Andrew Luck pick right. that you decided to go in a wonkish direction for. This was a guy that in a quarterback draft that was full of guys. Lamar Jackson, I believe, was in that draft as right. well. Guys that ultimately turned out to be stars, but Josh Allen was a total gamble at the time.
Absolutely, total gamble. It's just it's funny though because where would the Broncos have been now? Where would they be now if, say, Josh Allen had taken the leaps with the Broncos that he took with the Bills? And where would that organization be now? Like, he'd be that kind of that next tier great quarterback and kind of.
Well, they certainly had to hit the reset based on the Russell Wilson debacle, you know, and all the things that they lost. They had to give up a pick to get Sean Payton in there as the head coach. So, yeah, I mean, you could make the argument, man, that it certainly would have changed. Well, it would have changed the trajectory, but is Josh Allen the same guy in Denver too, with that supporting cast?
Well, they have future Hall of Famer Bo Nix now, so they'll be just fine.
Oh, Bo! Literally.
By the way, is he gonna start?
I mean, who else is, right? I mean, they got a couple of.
Isn't Jared Stidham in that Jared room? Stidham. I want to say, am I got that right?
Yeah, not exactly a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback room there, but we'll see. I mean, he had a great year for Oregon last year, but I just never thought of him as an NFL prospect.
Baker Mayfield went one, by the way. Saquon Barkley, Sam Darnold to the Jets.
Yep.
Denzel Ward's a Pro Bowler. Bradley Chubb has been a Pro Bowler for John Elway. You know, he's, as you said, Monday morning quarterback from the quarterback on that one. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bo Nix, Jared Stidham, and third-string quarterback there, old Zach Wilson. So those are the quarterbacks that are competing.
That's right. Zach Wilson's over there. Oh, my God.
Lamar Jackson goes last 32nd. Again, all those comments, not so subtle from Napoleon about the guy. And he's certainly, look, this last chance to go to the Super Bowl, you can't put that on Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he did have a turnover, but still, thought the coaching kept him out. All these guys in that draft. Baker Mayfield now a second wind with the Buccaneers, although I think they kind of just kind of running it back from last year, if I'm honest.
I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year either.
Right. But if you went Sam Darnold, the Jets.
Who might be starting for the Vikings this year, ironically enough.
You got to be J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. Come on. Right?
I don't know.
I don't think
J.J. McCarthy's lighting it up in Minnesota from what I'm reading. Right. So
we've hijacked the segment. Back to you, Warren.
Sorry.
Let's get over to college football here. I mentioned, I think, last week with you guys, or week before last, there's going to be a Netflix documentary coming out on the Michigan sign-stealing scandal with Connor Stallions and all that good stuff.
Right.
That's part of their Untold series. Well, before that happens, we may find out what the punishment for Michigan is going to be, either maybe later today or sometime tomorrow. But in the very near future, they are going to get their notice of allegations. And it's going to be a level one. They're going to be hit with level one violations for the egregious game life-altering rampant off-campus in-person scouting operation led by Connor Stallions. The penalty is going to be a 1 or 2 year postseason ban. Yeah, man, no man, is that the appropriate penalty for what Michigan did?
I know at the time, Chris, everybody was going bananas about it. I don't know. I mean, I think there's nothing – the way I read it, there was nothing on the books that said you can't try to steal signals. Now, to go to an industrial level the way Michigan did is
right.
Maybe something else. I would have said take away a couple of scholarships, take away 5 scholarships, 10 scholarships, 5 a year, and that's it, and get on with your lives. I think a postseason bowl ban? Michigan's kind of too big to fail for that, if I'm honest. They can appeal it, can't they?
I would assume they can, and then also the other thing, too, is Mike.
It's been so long, I forget my NCAA rules of engagement.
Violation rules.
The word comes
out. Yeah, we need
it.
The handbook.
Right.
Can I ask this question? Are they going to be
any good
enough?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
maybe you
mean?
Take your medicine with
Sharon Moore, is he going to be the second coming?
Right. And he's great on FBI.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, different guy.
Oh, that's
I'm sorry.
Formerly of
Shamar
the Soul
Moore.
Train fair, Shamar Moore. There, yes.
He is a handsome son of a gun, though.
A lot
I will
of
say
Tyler
that.
Perry movie, Shamar Moore, yes.
That was an inside joke just to make Day Day laugh, but no, it's not. He's not on FBI. But that's a great point from Chris, because Harbaugh had the juice. They still have a pretty good class, good recruiting. But if he doesn't, maybe this is the time to take it in the pants as far as the take your medicine now, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, to me, yeah, it does look a bit goofy. It didn't really affect – I mean, like Georgia, they apparently had Georgia's signs. How'd that work out? You know what I mean? It's just at the end of the day, if there's nothing on the books that says you can't do it, then I don't think you could drop the hammer on them.
No, they even had Georgia practices, and how did that work out?
Right.
Not well.
Michigan's a bunch of snobs and elitists, but they won, and they had the best team on the field, and they beat Alabama, and that's all you need to say.
There you go. On that note, gentlemen, let's go hang it out of here.
All right, big man. Yeah, I don't know. I still think Alabama, and we have a bunch of Alabama fans that come here to Mall of Georgia Hooters. Man, that game, the blown snaps by center, Jalen Milroe with some goofy play. I mean, just some basic blocking and tackling, to quote Nick Saban. They could have pulled that game off.
Yeah, I think Michigan probably was the better team just in terms of a talent perspective. But the way the game was playing out, as you just said,
right,
they shot themselves in the foot.
But then credit. Look, they made the worst game of Michael Penix Jr.'s career as a starter was a national championship game against Michigan for the things that they threw at him and got him out of his comfort zone. Hey, man, we were up at Falcons Camp. We'll tell you about what Michael Penix Jr. had going on. Also, we'll get into some dog report. And we've got some stuff to talk about. Baseball trade deadline has come and gone. I mean, it's at 6 o'clock, it will have come and gone. Are we going to have anything to talk about? Right now, we're kind of getting back to the future from 2021. Is it going to be enough? We'll talk about it next.